Welcome to this May 2023 edition of Business Spotlight featuring UPMC Hammett on Money Radio WPSE. Business Spotlight airs weekly Fridays at 12:30 p.m. and is replayed on Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. Also, as a reminder, you can access our vast archives of Business Spotlight and other podcast programs by visiting our website and clicking on the podcast tab near the top of the homepage. Just Google Money Radio WPSE. In this month's episode, we're joined by Boo Haggerty, the president of the Hammett Health Foundation. We'll find out about how the foundation and UPMC Hammett are taking extra steps to help those that are uninsured by adding two new enrollment navigator assisters, plus so much more about their other initiatives, as Joe Martin caught up with the Hammett Health Foundation president.
Boo, thanks again for your time today. It's always appreciated.
Joe, I appreciate being with you as always. You have been doing great work in this community for a long time, and I'm proud to be part of the show today.
Thanks, Boo. Hey, Boo, we never want to take for granted that everybody knows exactly what the Hammett Health Foundation is all about. Can you share the mission and provide examples of the great work that the Hammett Health Foundation is currently working on?
Yeah, absolutely. So if you know, back to the days of Hammett Medical Center, and I've been here 23 years, just been blessed to work for such a great organization, doing such great community work. And the advertising theme line for years and years and years for Hammett back to the 80s was leading the way to better health. And UPMC now is our partner in this. And for 11 years, it's been life-changing medicine. But we didn't really want to get away from that leading the way to better health. So literally, our mission statement is the Hammett Health Foundation will lead our community to better health. That is what we live by. And when we say community, we mean every person in this community. We want to have the same level of health care provided to each and every person that we serve.
Boo, I know you have so much going on, so we're going to do a deep dive into just a few things today. But in early April, it was announced by the Health Foundation and UPMC Hammett that you were taking extra steps to help those that are uninsured by adding two new enrollment navigator assisters.
Right.
Why is this significant, and why is now the time to add these positions?
Well, it's always significant to make sure that everyone in our community has access to healthcare. And how can you lead the way to better health when there are people who don't have a health insurance card in their pocket? So we felt that it's always important to make sure that people have health insurance. But now more than ever, the public health emergency post-COVID is over. And a lot of people who qualified for Medicaid during the pandemic are losing their eligibility. And we're in the process right now, it started April 1, of unwinding those who have Medicaid. And in some cases, there's people who qualified for Medicaid during the pandemic who will no longer qualify, but they may not even be aware of it because they've missed the mailing. They've moved since this has happened. People's lives are transient and in an uproar. So 1.2 million Pennsylvanians are going to lose their health insurance. And we felt, instead of being passive and waiting for people to find out, we're going to be very aggressive and go find these folks and help them get A, re-enrolled in Medicaid, or B, get them enrolled with some sort of health insurance on the Pennsylvania portal called Penny, which is another way to be insured without Medicaid, but it's at a very discounted rate and it's paid for through a subsidy based on income. So the time was now to really make sure that, you know, when we talk about equity, Joe, equity means everybody has the same rights, the same access to healthcare, and it starts with being able to pay for it.
You know, the Hammett Health Foundation, of course, you're taking on the extra expense to add these two new assisters. But I've got to believe that in the big scheme of things, really small price to pay because you're providing peace of mind and assistance, which may be some families' biggest worry, and that's no health insurance.
And it's a great point. When you have a nonprofit foundation like ours, is yes, there's expense to this. There's no doubt about it. And I've, you know, my job is to justify that expense to my board and the folks that we work with. But it is a, to your point, it's a no-brainer to have these great people on as part of our team, because in the long run, they are saving individuals money. They are certainly saving the health system money, because we're getting, you know, right care, right place, right time. You know, Joe, for years, and still to this day, there are people who use the emergency room as their primary care office. And that's just not the right fit for anybody, most importantly, the patient. So if we literally have to go door to door and find folks and let them know that we can get them affordable access, again, right care, right place, right time, I don't think there's a better investment we could make.
In preparation for this interview, I did a little bit of homework on your website, and I learned about the efforts that you're making to combat homelessness.
Right.
Can you explain what the Working Together to Combat Homelessness initiative is all about, and why it is important to you and the foundation to be involved and a leader in this effort?
Yeah, sure. And it's a great question. Ironically, the Mayor's Business Council addressed homelessness as a major challenge for economic development. So not a way you'd think about homelessness. So you think about homelessness as really a healthcare issue, and it is a healthcare issue. But certainly it did become, you know, maybe a nuisance, and I hate to put it that way, but maybe a nuisance to folks who are trying to go into a downtown business, and there might be someone who, you know, asks them for a few bucks. And I think we've all been on the street before when you see someone you want to help, you see them on the corners, and you don't really think too much about it. But homelessness is a healthcare crisis, just like many other things, but it is a healthcare crisis. And you know, Joe, when I heard about this from an economic development standpoint, I kind of paused and challenged the group that I was with to say, well, let's look at it as a humanitarian issue and really try to get to the root cause. And that's what we do at the foundation, is we really try to get to the root cause of the problem. I don't believe that anyone wants to be homeless. I believe circumstances episodically lead them in that direction, and then it's really hard to spin out of it. So from a pure healthcare standpoint, I started asking inside the hospital, what's going on here? You know, how many homeless patients do we have who we can't discharge because there's nowhere to discharge them to? How many homeless individuals wind up in our emergency room, especially on a cold night, you know, with frostbite or just minor type injuries, but that turn into major things? How many homeless folks do we see that have, you know, a mental health issue, have a drug and alcohol issue, have many physical health issues? And the answer is all of them, and you check all the boxes. So we decided to do something about it, and we assembled a group of people, just great thought leaders in the community who wanted to take this from a different vantage point. And we really kind of called ourselves the Coalition of the Willing. Who's willing to look at this from a different perspective, a different lens, and not just address this in the way that these amazing shelters in our community are addressing it, because they are amazing, but they're temporary solutions. How do we develop permanent solutions? So we put a group together, and we are working toward a permanent solution. I can get into that, but I don't know if I'm answering your initial question before we get into the next parts of it.
You know, before we do that, yeah, I definitely want to hear you mention that. But I mean, really big picture, kind of a 30,000 foot view of this problem. This is a bigger problem than most of us realize, isn't it?
Absolutely. Really identified itself even more during the pandemic, when really the goal of every community was to, you had to take care of crowd control. So you had to get them out of the parks, you had to get them out the streets, and a lot of the homeless population around our country ended up in hotels for long periods of time. It was an enormous cost, it was an enormous burden. Somehow we had to, the communities that served these folks had to get them meals and take care of all their health issues. And it was a really challenge. I mean, our Department of Health and Human Services and folks like Erie County Care Management and, you know, agencies like Community Shelters and Human Mercy Center and many, many others really had to pivot and rethink their work. And they did incredible work in it. But it really bubbled up to, this is a crisis. This is a huge problem. And in working with all those agencies and many more that I just mentioned, what we started to define is what is chronic homelessness. who are the people in this community who are chronically homeless? That's more than a year without a place to live. And it's a lot of people. And we know them by name. So as long as you know them by name, where they are, who they are, we got to fix this. We got to help.
Tell us more about the Erie Supportive Housing Project team and the short and long-term objectives on how success will be measured.
Sure. That project team was assembled through really a project of Infinite Erie, and Infinite Erie is a really interesting topic that you should delve into with Karen Billowith and Kim Thomas if you haven't yet. But it folded out of that, and essentially what we did is we wanted to identify how to help permanently the chronically homeless. So this group of people got together, Coalition of the Willing, the folks from the County Health Department, the City of Erie, from some of the neighborhood development organizations to Housing Authority, healthcare organizations, UPMC and Highmark, folks from the home team. We all got together and said, how do we solve this? And the answer was the Housing First model. Housing First essentially means put someone in their own place, in their own apartment permanently. No questions asked, put them in it. Then give them that permanent supportive wraparound services, put the services inside the building, inside the places where they're living, and be assertive about it and make sure that we're delivering these services to this group of people every day, no matter what it costs. And the effort has been very successful in that everyone has bought in, everyone has signed on. And the solution is, if we can take the chronically homeless, give them a place to live. When I say give them, you're doing this through vouchers, through, you know, HUD and other human services departments around the country, the state, and the county, and the city. If we can get this group of people to stay in their own place for a year, there's an 85% chance they'll never be homeless again. And that's something that's worth swinging the bat hard at. So this team has worked very hard. We've developed a request for qualifications for a developer to build a permanent supportive housing structure. We have an RFQ ready to go for a service provider to provide the services to those residents of this new complex that we're going to build. And we will have a nationally battle-tested model called Housing First Permanent Supportive Housing in our community for the first time since homelessness has been identified as an issue. And we're really excited about it. We're really happy about it. And we really feel like it is a permanent answer to what's been a long-term problem.
You know, it really does sound like an amazing initiative and candidly long overdue, and credit to all those involved. I mean, it just sounds like an amazing initiative and can't wait to see how it unfolds.
Yeah, it will unfold. It's a lot of great people involved, Joe. People I've been really proud to serve with for sure. And the story is still evolving. It's clearly not done yet. Planning is good, but, you know, execution is more important. But we're ready to go. And remember, it's very important for your listeners to understand this is a humanitarian issue. This is a healthcare issue. This is exactly what we're built to do at the foundation, lead the community to better health. And that's every member of the community.
Boo, it was recently announced that the Hammond Health Foundation has partnered with the Hillman Cancer Center in Erie to expand clinical trials in Northwest PA with a $180,000 initial investment. Can you tell us about this partnership with Hillman Cancer Center?
I absolutely can. And, you know, pivot to what most hospital foundations do full time. This is certainly a big part of what we do, but we do the other work as well. The Hillman Cancer Center out on 12th Street, across from Yorktown, is really a community gem. It's part of UPMC Hillman, which is one of the top cancer institutes in the country. And phenomenal work happens out of the hub of Hillman in Pittsburgh. There are cancer centers for Hillman all around the state. And Erie is the second largest next to the one in Pittsburgh in terms of volume of patients. And what's really important is that the patients that we serve here in Erie get the highest levels of care. And that includes access to the most advanced and innovative clinical trials, whether it be a new drug, whether it be a new therapy, a new way to treat a modality, a new way to treat a different you know, a different type of cancer. When you think of cancer, you think of the word, but cancers are so pinpointed to parts of the body and how it affects individuals differently. Talking like I'm a clinician here, I am not. I'm just repeating what these smart people that I get to work with tell me. But the most important thing that we can do is have a research component to the work that we're doing so that we can put folks in clinical trials and see how they're reacting, again, to the most advanced medicines on the market and available today right here in our community. So our foundation was asked to make an initial grant to hire two nurse navigators and to build out a little research lab. That 180 grand will be spent in no time for salaries and for some startup costs. But we're launching a $3 million campaign because the work will be ongoing. And the goal is to make sure that we can meet every cancer patient at the front door with the most innovative treatments for what they've been diagnosed. It's the worst words anyone can hear. You have cancer. It's the worst words anyone can hear. What's even more challenging, when a loved one, family member tells you they have cancer, because you're part of that team, you're part of that caregiving team. I remember very distinctly when my mom was diagnosed with cancer and they said to my dad, now as the caregiver, you know, what supports do you need? My dad said, well, no, I'm not the caregiver. You're the caregiver. And they said, no, we're with your wife a couple hours a week while she's here. You're with her the rest of the week. So now you got to provide that support for that family member too. All this comes into play when you're talking about treating cancer. And the other thing we're able to do with this money, Joe, is to help those families with some of the basic needs that they have. We have a fund here, and I'm really proud of this fund is too. The clinical trials and the research is important, but the day-to-day needs, we have a fund that's helping people with co-pays. It's helping people pay for prescription medications. It's paying for a wig for someone who may lose their hair. It's paying for transportation. We'll go deep enough to pay rent for someone for a couple of months if they can't pay rent because they're not working during their treatments. We've made car payments. We've paid for cars for people. The craziest and wildest things that you can imagine to help people battle this disease are what we do here. And it's, I have a lot of job satisfaction for the work that myself and my team get to do, but that's top of the list when you're helping someone with the biggest battle and challenge in their life.
Boo, what a great story. And I think before the end of this interview, we're going to circle back to that fund you were referring to, and I'd love to hear a little bit more about it. But first, the UPMC Jamison School of Nursing at UPMC Hammett. Now, I know this was launched to help address the nursing shortage that exists. And I also know from speaking to David Gibbons that this program has been wildly successful. Why is this program working so well, Boo?
The Jamison School of Nursing, UPMC Hammett, is working well for a couple of different reasons. First and foremost, like-minded people who just want to succeed. Our executive director, Karen Morahan, she's just a winner. She knows how to build it so that people, when they come into this school, will thrive. And success begets success. And Karen's first class was very, very successful. And the right people, you know, being admitted into the school. B, we found a financial model that works. It's a affordable education. C, 16 months, very, very quick turnaround. D, 1,000 hours of clinical training. So the classroom's important, but putting people inside the hospital, doing that clinical training was pivotal. And then, you know, I think I'm on D now. The faculty, incredible group of people. But last and not least is where we put it. We put it in the Wayne School, which is part of a development that we did with ECAT. And that location has been a great place for people to learn. It's a brand new learning environment. It was unique. It was new. And it was just incredibly successful on all those different levels. And when all those things come together, you just get great education inside there. So I think it's leadership. I think it's timing. It's probably a little bit of luck in there and that having that building ready to go for us. But then last and probably the most important thing, great students. people who really care about what they want to do, and people who didn't think maybe they would fit on a four-year campus or even in a different program outside of Erie. People who really saw themselves in this school, in this building. So, and I'm leaving out an important part. You needed a university partner, and Gannon University has been a great partner of ours, in as much as all the classroom training is on their campus, which has been really helpful. So that's a long answer, but there's no one short reason why it's successful. There's a lot of moving parts. We stood this up fast, and it's been really effective.
What a great success story. Boo, the Hammond Health Foundation, and candidly, this was news to me, has mm-hmm. nearly 100 different funds that benefit the hospital and the community. Can you tell us about a few of those? And if a listener chose to support one of those amazing funds, how would they go about doing that?
So giving to the Hammond Health Foundation is as simple as going to our website, hammondhealthfoundation.org, and making a gift. Generally what we do, a lot of our gifts are unrestricted, where they just want us to put it to the most important need. But we do have people who are very specific about one piece of healthcare that we deliver. We have a fund for our hospice program. We have a fund, obviously, for our cancer program. We have a fund for our cardiac program. We have a fund for our neuro program. We have a fund that supports Parkinson's. We have a lot of education funds, different education funds that support high school kids coming into healthcare, that supports current employees who want to advance their degrees, that support our nursing school students, that support Erie Center for Arts and Technologies and some of the programs that we're doing with ECAT. We have funds for our residency programs. We have funds to support our physicians. So over the years, donors have said, I want a fund very specific for something that is important to them, and we'll start that fund. And then from there, we use those funds to do the work we're doing. Yeah, I'm glad you brought it up, because keep this in mind. We get to do the great work that we get to do on the backs of really generous donors, Joe. And it doesn't matter to me if it's a $10 gift or $1 million gift. If someone decides to write us a check, they're entrusting their hard-earned dollars to us to be great stewards of their gift and move that in a positive direction. We are successful in fundraising because I think we can demonstrate that we are taking every dollar and putting it to really, really good use in this community to help a lot of people. I would say, Joe, that we change a dozen lives every week here in one way, shape, or form, and it's probably more than that.
That's a level of rewarding work that is absolutely amazing, but candidly, not entirely surprising to hear when it comes to the Hammond Health Foundation. Boo, I can't thank you enough, obviously, for your time again today. It's always a pleasure, but before we leave, we still have a few minutes left. In closing, is there anything else that you would like to update us on regarding the foundation that maybe we have not touched on today?
Yeah, I think the thing that I'd really like to emphasize, and first of all, I appreciate you, Joe. You guys are always there talking to us, not just us, every organization in this community. You really help us get our message out, and that's so important to us. And so we appreciate you. So number one, I want to throw back and shed some light on you. Appreciate the friendship and the hard work that you guys do over the years, for sure. So thank you. But I think the most important thing to say is we're really just getting started. We do feel blessed that we get to do great work and we're helping a lot of people. And I could be here for hours reading the thank you notes we get from individual people who benefit from the work we do. But we have an equity issue in this community. And unfortunately, as much as we want to talk about equity, we got to deliver on it. And again, I told you at the outset, ensuring that every person in this community have a trusted level and access to healthcare, but also access to amenities that keep them healthy. We are going to be talking a lot in the future about a better place to live for people. Housing is really important. We're going to be talking a lot in the future about better access to healthy foods and diets and dietary needs. We are going to be talking a lot about the fact that career development is still not where it needs to be, and helping people really develop themselves individually and personally, and giving them career opportunities that they didn't know exist to them. And most importantly, we're just going to keep knocking on doors and helping people in any way we can help them. And that's going to mean working on a lot more projects like the one we talked about, and probably projects that I don't even know yet, because what we do is we get to the root cause of a problem and we let it evolve. Our women's recovery program that we started a few years ago came out of a meeting where I was talking to a couple of our nurses who were in our NICU, and we had babies who were coming off addiction after they were born because moms were using. Instead of judging mom, let's help mom. So we are getting more and more women into our women's recovery program in their childbearing years and during their pregnancy, and then helping those women further their education, further their careers, and really get, you know, in a better, you know, walk in a better path in life. We spend way too much time judging other people and pointing fingers at, well, you shouldn't be doing this, and you shouldn't be doing this, and you shouldn't be doing that, and not really getting to the root cause of what an individual's situation is and helping them out of that situation if they want help. So it sounds trite, but it's not to us. It is very, very real. And you go to work every day hoping you can make a difference. And when people are telling you to make a difference, you realize there's 10 more we got to get, and there's 10 more after that, and there's 10 more after that. So our work's not going to end, and we have a lot more to do, and we're just proud to be able to do it.
Well, one thing is for sure, the Hammett Health Foundation is certainly contributing to making Erie a better community. And once again, Boo, I can't thank you enough. It's always a pleasure. Appreciate your time, sir.
Thank you, Joe. You have a great day. Appreciate you.
Thanks for listening to Business Spotlight on Money Radio WPSE. Join us again next week as Dr. Ralph Ford, Chancellor at Penn State Barron, is in the Business Spotlight.